हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। सो टुडे वी आर स्टार्टिंग अ न्यू बुक बाय श्रील भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर। दिस बुक इज कॉल्ड एज श्री भक्त्यालोका। सो फॉर दोज ऑफ यू हु हैव बीन अटेंडिंग माई हरिनाम चिंतामणि सेशन फॉर दी लास्ट ऑलमोस्ट लाइक 30 वीक्स, आई मीन यू आर मोर और लेस अवेयर ऑफ अवर फॉर्मैट एंड द वे वी डिस्कस। सो वी विल बी मोर और लेस फॉलोइंग द सेम फॉर्मैट। आई विल जस्ट फर्स्ट ब्रीफली इंट्रोड्यूस द बुक भक्त्यालोका। एक्चुअली दिस वॉज नॉट रिटन इन द फॉर्म ऑफ अ बुक बाई श्रील भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर। दिस वॉज रिटन इन द फॉर्म ऑफ अ सीरीज ऑफ एसेस बाई श्रील भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर। इफ यू इन हिस इन द गौड़ियमठ, नॉट द गौड़ियमठ, इन द पब्लिकेशन सज्जन तोषण। तो सज्जन तोषणी वॉज देर वॉज भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर्स बैक टू गॉड एट टाइप ऑफ मैगजीन। इट वॉज अ मंथली मैगजीन। सो इन सज्जन तोषणी इट वॉज प्रेजेंटेड इन द फॉर्म ऑफ इट वॉज प्रेजेंटेड इन द फॉर्म ऑफ अ सीरीज ऑफ एसेस। तो बेसिकली भक्त्यालोका इज a set of a collection of 12 essays which is based on the second and third verse of Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita. As you may all know, the second verse of Upadeshamrita talks about 6 things which are unfavorable for progressing on the path of devotional service: atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyamcha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati. The 6 things that destroy one's bhakti: atyahara, we will see what all these things are. So he has written one essay on atyahara, one essay on prayasa, prajalpa, niyamagraha, janasanga, laulyam, right? So one essay on each of these topics. So that was the first 6. And then the 6 things which are very favorable for devotional service: उत्साहान निश्चयात धैर्यात तत्तत् कर्म प्रवर्तनात संगत्यागात सतोवृत्ते षड्भिर् भक्तिर् प्रसिद्ध्यति। 6 things that are very favorable for bhakti: उत्साहान निश्चय धैर्य तत्तत् कर्म प्रवर्तनात संगत्याग सतोवृत्ति षड्भिर् भक्तिर् प्रसिद्ध्यति। सो दी 6 things, सो ही हैज रिटन 1 essay ऑन ईच ऑफ दीज टॉपिक्स विच वेर पब्लिश्ड every month in the Sajjana Toshini magazine, and subsequently in the Gaudiya Math devotees compiled these 12 essays and they made it into a book and titled it as Shri Bhaktyaloka. Okay, so this is the introduction of the book. So these 2 verses, second and third verse of Upadeshamrit, they describe a lifestyle that is very conducive for practicing devotional service. So first we will try to, because the book is based on Shri Upadeshamrita, first we will try to understand the history of Upadeshamrita, and then we will try to understand the relevance of this book of this book Bhaktyaloka. We will start with the first essay. But before I start this course, I would like to briefly hear from at least a few devotees who have registered for this course. Why have you registered for this course? What do you expect from this course? So you can please share your thoughts, your what exactly are you expecting from this course? Why did you register for this course? Then we will see whether I can, whether Dux will address those points or not. Maybe in the form of question and answer sessions, maybe many of these things can be addressed, even though directly it may not be addressed in the course. So I would just like to know what exactly did you have in your mind when you registered for this course? So please go ahead, Venkat Govind Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams.
Dandavat Prabhu.
Yeah, Prabhuji, having attended all your previous courses, we would like to see how we can still improve our practice of devotional service. Maybe I can call it as fine-tuning. Still fine-tuning it in terms of giving up the anarthas and taking up the favorable items in continuing and practicing devotional service.
Okay. Thank you, bro. Thank you very much. And else, you can please raise your hands and share what is it that you had in mind when you registered for the course. Yes, Govind Ghosh Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, this is Rangaraj Krishnadas. Actually, he's my friend. I am using his ID, so his name is
okay.
Sorry.
Yes. Go ahead.
So basically, I heard about Bhakti Aloka, a snapshot of what is Bhakti Aloka previously from your mouth, like the introduction that you gave me. So actually, what I felt like, if you continuous here, what should be prohibited and what should be done? So somehow, because we are following Vaidhi Bhakti, so by hearing this, okay, this is our Acharya said, so we should follow. So continuous hearing makes it easy for me to follow, because even if I know what may be there or what, from your other courses, but if I'm not hearing continuously, after a few days it fades away. So continuous hearing will give me much better chance to follow it.
Okay, thank you, bro. Thank you very much. Okay, Shri Gopinath Pran Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Dandas Pranam Prabhu.
Dandas.
So I felt that although I'm struggling and trying hard to practice bhakti, but somewhere I'm there only. It's like that example is given, that anchor is there in the boat and we are rowing, but boat is not reached the other end of the shore. So I felt something like that, and so I thought, and anyway, your classes always inspires me and helps me, so I'm joining.
Thank you, Guru. Thank you very much. Ronit Prabhu, what is it that you have? Why did you register for this course?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat.
I want to know what is the favorable to my sadhana and what is not favorable to my sadhana.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, belonging to a non-devotee family, I suffer so much. So I want to learn what is favorable to, means what I can do with the favorable things in the bhakti.
Mm.
So I'm also struggling with some anarthas. So I want to know how to get rid of that. So I have registered to this course, Guruji.
Thank you. Indar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Dandavat.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat.
Your earlier course on Bhakti Chintamani course, I was not part of that course. But I also wanted to attend that, but somehow I could not. I missed the initial part, so then I just skipped that part. But now this course has started, and I, with the name, the Bhakti Lifestyle, my wife, we wanted to join this course, particularly for how we can improve our daily sadhana, how our morning till evening should be, till so that our engagement in the devotional service, it increases more and more. So that was my only idea of attending this course. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Ponda devotees, who is going to speak?
Prabhuji, Arjun Priyadas.
Arjun Priya Prabhu, yes, Prabhu.
I am joined by 5 more devotees from
Sarita. Yes, yes. Yes,
and this is a very important book, Nectar of Instruction. And to get more in-depth knowledge of each and every aspect of them, Dhyana, Prayas and others. So very important book. I felt that all of us should come together and study it. And best is to study along with you. So I took the opportunity.
Thank you, yes. Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Yes, Sachi Pran Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhuji, same like Goa Pandas. I also wanted to understand the nectar of instruction in a detail and understanding and application in our own life. And specifically, I really like your classes and give us a lot of, you know, clarity in the thoughts. And we can apply very, when we have thoughts are clear, we can apply in our life. And also study Bhaktivinoda Thakur's all books. That's one of the goals. So that is also getting fulfilled. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prabhu. Krishna willing, we will see. Maybe in the Wednesday sessions, we can cover as much as possible. Radha Bhavini Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Danda Pranam. Yeah, I've been joining all your classes right from the COVID period when you started. What I would always like is there will be always some takeaway. Might be some days I'm not able to attend on that same day due to some family commitments. But even if I hear the recording, there will be some takeaway which I have to implement in my daily sadhana, or might be in spiritual or even family aspects or dealing with others. So this connect which we can develop with you and with which you are able to make us understand what our acharyas are trying to teach us with practical examples. One thing when really touches, or I should really bring out here, is long time back, you repeated in this recent series also some classes, like even if it's a cloth, if you are not giving respect to it and you are just taking it up with your leg. So if you can't even respect that, then what? How much we can give respect to other small aspects? So see, these small things are not which we cannot read in any books and implement. While you speak, it may makes a lot of difference. So I thought, let me add to my sadhana, daily sadhana, and try to improve myself, Prabhuji. And learning in association always has its own charm with a lot of wonderful questions. And I love the way you answer practically, which is applicable. Might be I have it in mind, but I would have not asked. Somebody asked and it's really answered. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. And I pray that I'll be able to continue this course sincerely. Might be till April, it is challenging for me. But later might be, I'll be able to do it sincerely. Seeking your blessings and all Vaishnavas.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Oh, there are so many devotees who have raised their hands. At least I will. Mother Gail, I am very glad to see you here in this forum. So thank you. You can please share.
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you asked this question because it gives me a chance to let you know how much I love your classes and the way you explain things. So that's my primary reason for participating here. And secondarily, you know, very secondarily, many years ago, there's one Maharaj that I listen to regularly, and he used to speak about this Bhakti Loka. And so, you know, so that piqued my interest also for that reason. So that's it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. I mean, I see 4 more hands. I will hear from them, or we all can hear from them. Further devotee, please don't raise your hands because we need to start today's session also. Deen Dayal Krishna Prabhu, you can please share what you have in mind.
Hare Krishna Prabhu Ji, Danda Pranam. Prabhuji, I had the fortune of attending Bhakti Shastri at Govardhan Eco Village last year at the beginning. And then hearing from you about Bhakti Asamrita Sindhu so systematically was very inspiring. So I have a great desire to understand these two verses of Upadeshamrit and our Acharya's teachings more systematically. And as I've seen in your presentation, it's very systematically. And at the same time, it also gives a deep insight into what the Acharyas are trying to share. So that was my main inspiration.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, Sachi Pran Gaur Hari Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Jayashila Prabhupada. Prabhuji, I'm very impressed by your lectures, Prabhuji. And it is said that our chanting is very important for us. Chanting is the topmost limb of bhakti. And our chanting really depends on how the remaining hours in the day we spend. And looking at the description of this book, I've not heard about this book before, Prabhuji, only through the telegram when you announced that you are going to speak about this book. I got very attracted and impressed, and based on the description of the book, I felt that it can improve my sadhana and my bhajan and ultimately my japa. So that that's what the driving factor was, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Okay, finally, Suhrid Madhav Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam. First of all, I want to thank Arjun Priya Prabhu for making me part of this. I've heard a lot about your lectures, Prabhu. So I thought, so my main thing was like, as conditioned souls, when we get instruction, upadesh, it is like poison because we don't like to take upadesh. We like giving upadesh. So since it is said upadesh amrita, so I thought like by learning from you, we will get instruction, follow it and actually understand that it is actually nectar when our seniors, our gurus, when they instruct us and we follow that, that's how we can make progress. So that was the main reason too, so that we can be in the right frame of mind and understand actually getting instruction is actually amrita. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you very much, bro. So thank you all. Whoever has shared, I see many have shared in the chat box also. Some points I will just read from there. Okay, so some things which have not been mentioned, how to lead our lives and how to do bhakti and why do we follow things. Okay, then you told that the lifestyle one should follow to actually progress to higher stages of bhakti will be taught in Bhakti Alok classes. That attracted me as I genuinely want to know how I can come nearer to Krishna. Okay. Okay. Fine. So thank you very much. So basically in this book, as it was mentioned in the introduction to this course, we will be hearing about what is a lifestyle that is very favorable for progressing on the path of devotional service. So I will give an introduction to first Upadeshamrita. What is the position of Upadeshamrita in the Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures? Then gradually we will hear about what is the position of Bhakti Aloka? Why is it important to understand Bhakti Aloka? And then we will start Bhakti Aloka itself. So let's see how far we can get. But before we start, because I do see many new devotees, apart from those who are attending the Harinam Chintamani sessions. So I will just briefly mention the protocol that we generally follow in our sessions. So I have mentioned that in 20 sessions, we will complete this book. I will try my best. But if you actually see the content, it may not necessarily take 20 sessions. It may take less than that. But generally, we have a lot of churning. We have a lot of churning in our sessions. Because that is how we learn. by asking questions and by churning these topics, that is how we learn. Like, I will share my experience that I, by the mercy of devotees, I got this opportunity to travel around many places within India to teach Srimad Bhagavatam and other such books. So wherever I used to travel, somehow I always felt like encouraging discussions, question answer discussions, because when such kind of discussions are there, you always get multiple perspectives, because Srila Prabhupada writes and also other acharyas describe that that Srimad Bhagavatam and all these bhakti literatures, they are like a Vaidurya stone. A Vaidurya stone, it is very multifaceted jewel. If you look at it from one side, it looks pink in color. From another side, it looks yellow in color. From another side, it looks green in color. From another side, it looks green in color. Right? So in the same way, Krishna and the literatures which describe about Krishna, especially Srimad Bhagavatam and other such literatures, are very much multifaceted. There are various facets and various depths of truths that are hidden. And these things come by the process of churning only. And when you create a facility where devotees can raise their doubts or share their reflections, share their thoughts, then the whole forum gets very much benefited, especially the speaker. I have, in my last many years of traveling and teaching, and also off late, you know, through this online medium, I have tremendously benefited by devotees presenting their reflections and questions. Generally, you find many, many different categories of people. I'll give you some examples. There are some classes of devotees, when you go to, generally based on my experience, when you are sharing classes in a forum and you open it up for questions, there are many categories of people. One category of people, they are very well read in Srila Prabhupada's books. So they will ask you questions like, Prabhu, you are speaking like this, but Srila Prabhupada in this particular purport, he writes like this. So how do you reconcile? There seems to be a contradiction here. How do you reconcile it? And you should be able to reconcile it, right? Because there is no contradiction. And there are other classes of people who have great taste in hearing from very exalted Vaishnavas, from Srila Prabhupada or their own Guru Maharaj or some other sannyasis or some other senior devotees. They hear very scrutinizingly. When you get to meet with such people, they will ask you, Prabhu, you are speaking like this, but I heard from Srila Prabhupada in one of his lectures, he spoke like this. How do you reconcile? There seems to be a contradiction. You should be able to explain it, right? Then there are third class of people who are very well read in various Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya's writings. So they will say, Prabhu, you are speaking like this, but Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha mentions like this. There seems to be a contradiction here. How would you resolve it? Prabhu, in Srimad Bhagavad Gita's commentary by Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan, he mentions this point which seems to be contradicting your point. How do you reconcile it? You should be able to explain, right? And there could be the fourth class of people who are quite well read in books which may not be the core Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures, but they may fall within the greater Vedic fold, like Mahabharata, Ramayana. You know, these kind of literatures, they might be well read, even though within the core Gaudiya Vaishnava line, these books have not been commented upon by our acharyas, but nevertheless, they do very much fall within the greater Vedic, gamut. So someone may say, Prabhu, you are speaking like this, but in Mahabharata, this kind of an explanation is there in this pastime. How would you explain this? That seems to be a contradiction. You should be able to reconcile. Okay. So this is the fourth category. Then the fifth category people are the ones who are well read in other kinds of non-Vedic secular writings, popular secular writings, you know, the self-help books and things like that. There are people who are quite well read in those kind of books also. And they may say that, the common understanding is like this. You are speaking like this, but the common understanding is like this, that which seems to be contradicting. So by common understanding, what they say, what they mean is in the popular self-help books and other kind of books, you know, they recommend like this. They say that this is how the mind works, but your explanation of the mind seems to be different. How do you reconcile this? So you should be able to reconcile, right? And then the sixth category of people are those who will say, Prabhu, you are presenting this principle from Srimad Bhagavatam, but my personal experience seems to be contradictory to this. You are quoting Shabda Praman, but Shabda Praman should be able to explain my Pratyaksha Praman, my own experience. But my experience seems to be exactly contradictory to the Shabda Praman explanation that you are giving. How do you reconcile this? How can I reconcile this apparent contradiction? Why is my experience different from the way in which Srimad Bhagavatam explains? Right? You should be able to explain this. So, in my experience teaching the Bhakti Shastras for the last many years, somehow it has been such a nourishing experience for me, because in our discussions there is always question and answers, and it's not that I always know the answer. In the initial days, most of the questions I always said, I'm sorry, I don't know the answer, but I can find it out. So, because when they ask, someone may be much more well-read in Srila Prabhupada's books than I am. Someone may be much more well-read in the other Acharya's books than I am. Someone may have heard very nicely. So all these categories of people, they think in different way. They access a different facet of this literature. But when they present their questions, your understanding of the Shastra becomes more wholesome. Even though you may not immediately know the question, you may not immediately know the answer for that question, but I always used to refer back. With that orientation, I used to reread the book. I used to approach some senior devotees and ask for clarification. And in this way, after years and years and years of teaching and hearing the questions and answering and then churning, having discussions, my own understanding has become wonderfully fine-tuned. I'm by no standards an expert, but whatever I am right now, it is the audience who have shaped my understanding of whatever little I know. It's the audience who have pushed me to access a different facet of the Shastra. The facet that they are accessing, which I am not accessing. But they are pushing me, or they are, you know, we are pushing each other to actually access the various other facets of the Shastras. And this is how we learn. And this has been such a nourishing experience actually for me. So the reason why I am sharing this is that in our forum, we are not running against time. I am presenting this in the beginning only. We are not running against time. There is no obligation to complete the course in 20 weeks. This is, I am telling it beforehand. It is just a suggested timeline, but this is, but we are here to actually understand and go deep. And as much as possible, try to understand the depth of the teachings of these books. Because that is how the Wednesday sessions henceforth are till now, and henceforth also in future will be like this only. We will go at our own pace. There is no rush to complete books. We are here to come together and relish the literature as much as the acharyas reveal and the literature itself reveals. So that is our purpose. So therefore, anytime anyone has any queries, questions, you can always please raise your hands. I may not immediately unmute you. I may just complete a particular portion and then unmute you, and we can always have a conversation. So please feel free to ask relevant questions. Please don't, there is no obligation on your side to ask a question. But if that is genuinely troubling you and you feel the urge to ask, and if it is connected to the subject matter that we are discussing, we will be more than happy to take discussion points. So please feel free to always raise your hands and ask questions, or you can even, if you are feeling shy to ask questions verbally, you can always type the questions in your chat box and we can always take those questions. So questions are always encouraged, so this is something that I wanted to just tell you, that the format, that this will be there will be a lot of discussions and question answers in these in the Wednesday sessions. So please feel free, but don't feel obliged to ask questions. If something you genuinely have, you can please always ask, no problem. Okay, so that's about the format. So let's start today's discussion. First, let's try to understand the history of Upadeshamrita. The history of Upadeshamrita. Okay. So, Sri Upadeshamrita, I'm really sorry. Just give me 1 second. I'll just stop sharing this. Give me just 1 second. I'm really sorry. Just slipped off my mind. I just wanted to make the thickness of the tip a little bit more thicker, so that when I draw a line, it looks much more clearer. I'll just change the settings of my pen so that it is a little bit more clearer when I write something on the screen or underline on the screen. So just give me 1 second. I'm almost done. I'm just sharing the screen. So we are trying to understand the history of Upadeshamrita. So Okay, what is the history of Upadeshamrita? Shri Upadeshamrita is highly revered in the Shri Gaudiya Vaishnava spiritual community. So there are two books which are very similar. One written by Srila Rupa Goswami and another written by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. The book written by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is called as Shri Manasiksha, and the book written by Srila Rupa Goswami is Shri Upadeshamrita. So in both these books, the authors explain in just 11 verses how a sadhaka can travel from a materialistic platform to Krishna Prema. So these kind of books are called as paddhati. Paddhati means a gradual step-by-step route to reach the goal of Krishna Prema. What is the next stage? What are the symptoms of this stage? And what are the obstacles on this stage? How do you overcome the obstacle? Okay. Now, after having overcome the obstacle, what is the next stage? What are the symptoms of the stage? What are the obstacles in that stage? How do you overcome that those obstacles? Okay, then what is the next stage? Like that, gradually from Shraddha to Prema, just in 11 verses. So, if one can understand this one book, Shri Upadeshamrita or Shri Manasiksha, then one can easily, if one can really understand the depth of this book, then one can really hope to move forward in a very powerful way on our Krishna consciousness. So here it is mentioned, resplendent with the inner sentiment and outer complexion of Srimati Radhika, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the inaugurator of the congregational chanting of Sri Krishna's holy names, Sri Nama Sankirtan, and the bestower of that most elevated, radiant, divine love for Sri Krishna, which had never been given before. Anarpita Charinchirat Karunayavatirnahakalau Samarpayitu Munnatojvalarasam Subhaktishriyam Hari Purata Dutikadamba Sandipitaha Sadahridaya Kandare Spuratuvaha Shachinandana. Anarpita Charinchirat Karunayavatirnahakalau. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give that which has never been given before. What is that anarpita charimchirat? What is it that which has never been given before? One understanding is pure devotional service. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti ruttama uttama bhakti. Many acharyas came, they taught pure devotional service, but no one before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give pure devotional service in such an exclusive way. Even in other Vaishnava sampradayas, pure devotional service is also given. But in Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, it is only pure devotional service that is offered. So in no other sampradaya, this is so explicit. Teachings of pure devotional service are so explicit. So therefore, that is one understanding. That is the meaning of unnata ujjvala rasam. The second understanding is that he came to give ujjvala rasa refers to vraja rasa. In all the other sampradayas, bhakti, even in those sampradayas where pure devotional service was taught, it was mostly mood of Vrindavan that was taught. It was mostly the mood of Vrindavan that was taught. But it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who came to give the Vrajarasa, the mood of bhakti that is practiced in Vrindavan. Then the third understanding, or the more deeper understanding of Ujjwala Rasa, is Madhuri Rasa. So he specifically came to give Madhuri Rasa, which as a sadhana is never taught in any other sampradaya actually. So therefore, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. It is Krishna himself who has come with the mood and complexion of Srimati Radharani. Right? Resplendent with the inner sentiment and the outer complexion of Srimati Radhika. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the inaugurator of the congregational chanting of Sri Krishna's holy names. So, for the benefit of all living beings, Srila Rupa Goswami churned the ocean of Sriman Mahaprabhu's instructions and extracted the essence in the form of Sri Upadeshamrita. Right? So, okay, anyway, please don't get distracted. I will switch off my video. Please focus on the screen. All that you need to know is there on the screen. You don't have to look anywhere else. Generally, I keep my video off only. So, because this was the inaugural session, I kept my video on. But henceforth, the video will be off only. You can, all that you want to know is there on the screen. And all that you want, all that you have to hear is there in your, you know, on your speaker or your earphones. So there is no need for the video. Just please focus on the screen. So that the screen freezes or not, and henceforth it will not freeze. You know, only the screen will be there. You can just focus on that. Okay. So for the benefit of all living beings, Srila Rupa Goswami churned the ocean of Sriman Mahaprabhu's instructions and extracted the essence form of Sri Upadeshamrita. When the milk ocean was churned, the nectar came. When buttermilk is churned, butter comes, the condensed essence of that curd. So when the instructions, when the essential instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are churned, the essence of all these instructions is there in these 11 verses. Therefore, they are called as Upadesha Amrita, the nectar of instruction. The instructions given in this book are indispensable for sadhakas of the devotional path. Indispensable means there is not even one verse of this book which is a negotiable verse. Every single verse is non-negotiable. Without following these instructions, entering the realm of pure devotion, and especially following the intricate and elevated path of spontaneous devotion, is not only difficult but impossible. So if there is one book in our sampradaya which is absolutely non-negotiable book, that is Upadeshamrita. All that you need to practice, to progress on the path of devotional service, is there in this one book, just 11 verses. If only we could understand the depth of these instructions, there is absolutely nothing else that is needed. It is like a zip file. If only we know how to unzip each one of these 11 zip files, practically the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta and Rasa and everything is there in this one book, Upadeshamrita. Kimva Parair. When this one book is there, what is the need of any other book? Because it's not to demean any other book, but this is such a wholesome book. So now let's try to understand the history of this book. How did Srila Rupa Goswami compile this book? We learn from the diary of Govinda Das, the personal servant of Premavatar, the incarnation of divine love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that prior to returning to his eternal unmanifest pastimes, Mahaprabhu remained constantly overwhelmed. Mahaprabhu remained constantly overwhelmed in a highly inflamed mood of divine separation, Vipralamba Bhava. So the last few years of Shriman Mahaprabhu's stay in Puri, he was completely absorbed in very intense feelings of separation from Radha and Krishna. And his experience is very in detail described in the Antya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. At that time, Mahaprabhu's two intimate eternal servitors, Sri Swarup Damodar and Sri Rai Ramananda, would try to pacify him by singing verses that were relevant to his mood. So these were the two intimate associates. For Radha and Krishna, it was Sri Lalita Devi and Sri Vishakha Devi, who were the most intimate associates. And this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyan. So they were Radha and Krishna put together. Together they have come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to remind Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and help Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experience that mood of Vrindavan, it was Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami and Sri Rai Ramananda, who were Lalita Devi and Vishakha Devi, who would sing songs and relevant verses which would exactly suit the mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing. On one occasion, Mahaprabhu was sitting with his devotees on the shore of the ocean, engaged in hearing narrations concerning Krishna. So they were sitting on the shore of the ocean in Jagannath Puri and they were discussing Krishna Katha. Seeing the dense grove of trees lining the shore of the blue ocean and the tall sand dunes, remembrance of Govardhan Hill and the Yamuna River, with the many beautiful gardens and groves situated on her banks, suddenly sprang up inside him. As soon as he saw the ocean, it reminded Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of River Yamuna. And as soon as he saw the various forests which were surrounding that place, he was remembering Vrindavan forest. And as soon as he would see some sand dunes, it would remind him of Govardhan Hill. So then he began bitterly weeping in separation from Krishna. When after some time his excitement subsided and he became peaceful, he gave the assembled devotees some instructions in a soft and sweet voice. So this is happening the beach of Jagannath Puri ocean late at night. So as soon as he saw ocean, he remembered Yamuna, and as soon as he saw the sand dunes, he remembered Govardhan Hill, and as soon as he saw the forest surrounding that place, he was remembering Vrindavan forest, and he went into deep ecstasy. And when that ecstasy subsided, when he became little sober, when he came to his external consciousness, he actually started giving some instructions in a very soft and sweet voice. Those instructions comprise the verses of this Sri Upadeshamrita. From the very beginning, it is compulsory for sadhakas desirous of entering the realm of bhakti to renounce activities that are unfavorable for progress in spiritual life. Right? Which are unfavorable. That's what Atyahara, Prayasascha, and so on. And of course, it includes the six urjas also. These include the urges of mind, speech, anger, tongue, stomach, and genitals, as well as avoiding overeating, unnecessary endeavors, useless conversation, improper compliance with the rules and regulations of devotion, bad association, either greed, restlessness of mind, restlessness of the mind to adopt worthless opinions. He's talking about, he's just giving a summary of, you know, the first and second verse. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam. Etan veganyo vishaheta dhira sarvanapi mam prativim sasishyat. So he's talking about the six things which are six urges which one has to overcome. And then the six things which are unfavorable, atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha, janasangascha laulyancha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati, right? So then simultaneously, it is imperative to adopt those things that nourish one's bhakti. Utsahan nishchayat dairyat tattat karma pravartanat sangatyagat sato vritte shadbir bhaktir prasidyati, right? Because these are very good for one's progress on the path of devotional service, right? Then after progressing somewhat, one should engage in the six kinds of devotee association, give appropriate respect to the three levels of Vaishnavas and serve them accordingly. Okay. This, he's talking about 4, 5, and 6. Three verses are summarized in this one line. Finally, while residing either physically or mentally in Braja and following in the footsteps of devotees who possess deep love for Krishna and who are adept at relishing the devotional mellows of Braja, one should constantly engage his tongue and mind in chanting and remembering Sri Krishna's names, form, qualities and pastimes. This is the 8th verse. Here he is talking about 4 to 7. Four verses are summarized. 4 to 6. Okay. And 7 and 8 is summarized here. Okay. 1 and 2 are mentioned here. Third verse is mentioned here. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Just as Srimati Radhika is the most dear to Krishna, similarly her pond, Radha Kund, is also most dear to him. Therefore, practitioners of bhakti must certainly take shelter of the embodiment of ultimate devotional ecstasy, Srimati Radhika and her pond, Sri Radha Kund. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely preserved this topmost essence of instructions within the verses of Sri Upadeshamrita. So this slide is the summary 9 to 11, 9, 10, 11, which glorifies Radha Kund and Srimati Radharani. Right? So this is the history of Upadeshamrita. This book was spoken in Puri on a particular day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely immersed in his Vrajarasa, in the ecstasy of the mood of Vrindavan, when he was completely immersed. Then he went completely into ecstasy, and then when he came to his external senses, out from his mouth poured these 11 instructions, which are very essential instructions. How do you... It is one thing to see, hear about those exalted stages of devotion, but how do you practically progress stage by stage from a very, very basic beginning stage of devotee service? How do you gradually take baby steps towards the stage of Krishna Prem? That is very beautifully described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And subsequently, this was written down, penned down by Srila Rupa Goswami. So this is not, of course, whatever Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami writes, it's either directly spoken to them by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or inspired by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here, these 11 verses are not it's not like personally composed by Srila Rupa Goswami. It was actually spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. That is the history of Sri Upadeshamrita. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions? You can please raise your hands. Maybe one or two we will take and then we'll move ahead. Yes, Balaganesh Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Prabhu.
Dandavat Prabhu.
Prabhu, actually, there are restrictions and also encouragement given in the as part of verse 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. So the emphasis should be given more on Utsaha Nisya Derad and less on Atyahara Prayas Chasya Prabhu, because to that extent we engage in Krishna consciousness, automatically the lower things will go away. So what should be the emphasis given mostly to Prabhu? Is it towards developing the positive things or avoiding the negative things? Our energy should be spent in which aspects?
First thing, emphasis comes later. First thing, we have to understand what they actually mean. We should first understand what is Utsaha, what constitutes Utsaha. Then we should understand what is determination. How can you progress with determination? What is it that, because even in these vidhis, there are some nishedas. Like say, for example, if you take the example of nishchaya. Nishchaya means endeavoring with determination. That is nishchaya. But in endeavoring with determination, which is a vidhi rule, the nisheda is one should very consciously try to avoid doubts. You see, one should very consciously try to avoid doubts. Avoiding doubt is a nisheda. Don't. Right? So in every you will see that in every favorable instruction, there are hidden many aspects which you should avoid also. And in the nishedas also, if you actually try to understand, there are many favorable instructions which you have to follow also. So rather than seeing it as do's and don'ts, which they are also, but actually if you see what constitutes a lifestyle which is very favorable for cultivating Krishna consciousness. So emphasis comes later, but understanding comes first. When we understand, then depending on our individual level of conditioning and type of conditioning, we can understand what needs to be emphasized more and what needs to be emphasized less. Is it clear? Okay, I think you, Balaganesh, who, is it clear?
It's clear.
Okay. Another protocol, generally when someone asks a question, please don't mute yourself immediately. Because you have to communicate whether you understood the answer or not, or if the answer was satisfactory or not. Okay, Amala Bhakti Mataji and Madhav Sharan.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat
Prabhuji, my question is in the beginning stages or in the neophyte stage, is there any possibility that the symptoms of bhava and prema are manifested in little quantity?
Not possible. If it really manifests, then that person is not a neophyte.
Okay.
So we need to understand what are the symptoms of neophyte devotional stages. And what are the symptoms of bhavana? So if you say that he is neophyte, then there will not be symptoms of bhava and prema. But if symptoms of bhava and prema are clearly seen, then such a person cannot be a neophyte.
Okay. Then up to what stage he can see? Maybe nishta, symptoms of nishta or ruchi or a neophyte devotee. Can he get a little bit of taste? Can he feel or...
It all depends on how do you define taste, because taste is there right from the stage of Shraddha. But the taste that is experienced at the stage of Shraddha and the taste that is experienced at the stage of Ruchi, they are not same. So it all depends on how do you define taste. If you say taste means the stage of Ruchi, then there is no Ruchi at the stage of Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajanakriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta also. If you describe taste as that which inspires engagement in Krishna consciousness, then that level of taste is there even at the stage of Shraddha.
Yeah. Okay, Prabhu.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Anand Prabhu. Anand Prabhu. Okay. Rahul Ranjan Mishra Prabhu. Are you speaking, Prabhu? I'm not able to hear you. Okay. Satya Devata Prabhu.
Dandavat Pranam Prabhu. Thank you for the opportunity to listen to this. Prabhu, I have a little different question. I got a little intrigued when this statement I heard about Mahaprabhu spoke about the ultimately surrender to Srimati Radharani and Radha Kunda to be able to understand it fully. But Prabhu, only from the our Sampradaya only follows Srimati Radharani and considers Radha Kunda as the topmost. But if you see the people from other Sampradayas, they do not give the same amount of importance.
Correct.
Then how do they progress and then how do they achieve the bhava stage?
Because they will not.
This is considered as a universally applicable norm, Prabhu, this statement.
No.
No, this statement is not universally applicable to all devotees.
It is assumed that those who are studying this book have accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their life and soul. So many of these books, when the authors say, like for example, Sri Harinam Chintamani, in the beginning of Sri Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you don't accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as your life and soul, please don't read this book ahead because this book is not for you. So therefore, there are certain things which are universal for all sampradayas. And there are certain things, like say, for example, if you have to make ice cream, it is always, certain things are universal, right? You need milk, that is universal. Any ice cream you want to make. You need a refrigerator, universal. You need some sugar, universal. These three are universal realities. But depending on what kind of ice cream you want to make, whether you want to make a butterscotch or vanilla, or you want to make some kulfi, there are certain things which will change, right? So therefore, any holy place, you know, the five potent limbs of devotional service, right? These are universal truths across all sampradayas. Whether you are in a Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya or Madhva Sampradaya or Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, these are universal truths, right? What are the five most potent limbs? Chanting the holy name. Okay. So this is universal, but which holy name to chant? The Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they will say Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. For us, it is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then in the Vallabh Sampradaya, they will say Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. So chanting the holy name is a universal, one of the most potent limbs for everyone. But which holy name to chant will change. And then Dham Vas is a universal principle. But for Sri Vaishnavites, it is Srirangam or Tirupati or Kanchipuram. For For the Madhvaites, it is Udupi.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like that. And for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it is Vrindavan, Puri, Mayapur. Right?
Understood.
So, similarly, hearing also, Shravanam. It is a universal principle. But for the Sri Vaishnavites, they would hear from their Alvar's writings. They would hear from Vishnu Puran. They would hear from Ramayana. And Gaudiya Vaishnavas, for us, we would hear from Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And similarly, for them, when it comes to holy Tirthas, holy Kundas, for us it is Radha Kund. For Sri Vaishnavites, it could be Swami Pushkarani in Tirupati or Kaveri in Srirangam, like that. So, certain things are universal across sampradayas, but within that the flavor changes. So refrigerator, sugar, milk is common for any ice cream, but subsequently some butterscotch essence, some vanilla essence, and some whatever other essence, those things will change.
Understand.
Okay.
thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Okay. One last Surati Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandat Pranam. Prabhuji, as you mentioned about Nished, that we need not to have the doubts you mentioned in the previous questions. So when the doubts come up, it's sometimes very easy to not believe in those doubts, but it is very difficult at other times. So how can we develop faith and not believe in the doubt? Because we know that the process is perfect and what we have got is the highest. But sometimes because of the mind or because of some other things, it's not possible to believe in that. So
this point about doubts will be addressed in our 9th essay, Mataji. We are right now going to start the first essay, but this will be addressed in, the 8th essay, Utsaha Nischaya. 8th essay, when we discuss, we will discuss in detail about doubts. How do we overcome doubts like that? We will discuss that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, there are a few things on the chat box also. Let me see. One thing. How did Srila Rupa Goswami come to know about these instructions? It is mentioned that through the diary of Govinda. Okay, through the diary of Govinda. Were they present there at the time or somebody else noted them down first? It is mentioned that Govinda was there from his diaries, we know. And he had access to that. Okay. Hearing this history has increased my reverence for Upadeshamrita. I am feeling inspired to understand and follow the instructions even more carefully. Understanding it as non-negotiable thing. Okay. Upadeshamrita verses are also composed by Mahaprabhu. Why is it then devotees say that only Shikshashtakam are only composed by Mahaprabhu? I heard in some lectures. Can you? Yeah, Shikshashtakam. There are actually, if you see, there are many, many verses. If you see Sanatan Siksha and Rupa Siksha, many of the verses which Srila Rupa Goswami has penned down in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu were actually spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So practically, the writings of Swarup Damodar Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami were all either directly spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or at least paraphrased based on what they heard from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are a lot of teachings, because otherwise it's as an instruction, direct instruction in one sense. The Shikshashtakam were directly spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in reality, there are so many things which are, all these compositions are based on direct teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. What is the meaning of the word Bhaktya Loka? Good. I don't know. There is no mention of it. I tried to search for it, but I could not understand. It could mean multiple things. A place where bhakti is practiced, but I don't honestly think think it would be, or aloka means to see also. Bhakti aloka means the vision of bhakti, probably, but it's not mentioned. I'm sorry, I cannot tell. So sometimes it is mentioned that, bhava cannot be experienced in neo stage, but sometimes in the presence of a very exalted devotee, yeah, that is called as ratyabhas, that is not exactly bhava, yeah, but that's a rare case. Anyway. So we all are in the material plane, we all desire to go back home, back to Godhead, then why do we have so many sampradayas? Well, we all want to go back home, back to Godhead, but we all don't wish to worship the same form of the Lord. We all don't wish to worship the, even if we may have attraction for the same form of the Lord, we wish to worship Him in different moods, in different rasas. So therefore, multiple sampradayas. Okay. What publication you suggest? You can follow the, I just took it from, I think it was translated by Bhumipati Prabhu. I don't know. Or I think it's the same version which is available in our folio. I used just the folio version. Is Upadeshamrit as it is by Lord Chaitanya, or is it paraphrased? I mean, it's probably, he spoke the instructions it's mentioned. So it could be paraphrased, or the words are as it is. I don't know for sure. Because it does say these are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, but there is no mention whether the words are as it is or they are paraphrased. I don't know. Okay, anyway, I think we should move ahead now. Okay. So let us start the next section, understanding the relevance of Bhakti Aloka. So in order to understand the relevance of Bhakti Aloka, we need to Bhakti Aloka, Bhakti plus Aloka, which is Illuminations of Bhakti. Of course, I know that's how the book is titled. It could be Illuminations of Bhakti. Anyway. So, understanding the relevance of Bhakti Aloka, in order to understand the relevance of Bhakti Aloka, we need to understand how this Upadeshamrit flows. How this whole book of Upadeshamrit flows. Okay. So, I had mentioned that, Bhakti Shastri is a prerequisite for this book, but it is not a very non-negotiable prerequisite. If you have not done Bhakti Shastri, at least if you have a deep interest in understanding the teachings of Bhakti very sincerely, and you have, so then it's fine. But ideally, I mean, when I say Upadeshamrit, at least I expect that you know the what is that book, Upadeshamrit, what is there in the contents. You must have studied at least it. If not studied, at least read that book once. So that it becomes a little bit easy. So that's why I had mentioned that at least, Bhakti Shastri, if you have done Bhakti Shastri, it's very good. But if not, at least if you have, you must have at least read these books, then it becomes, the course becomes easy for you. Okay, so then let's try to understand the way in which the book Upadeshamrit flows. Okay, I will complete this section and then I will take questions. So please don't type questions in the chat box while I'm doing this, because it little bit distracts me, and please don't raise your hands. So once we complete this section of how does this whole book Nectar of Instruction flows, when we understand this, then it becomes easier to appreciate what is the relevance of this book, Bhakti Aloka, in our life? Okay. So, this understanding is based on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own writing. Okay. So, and I have a little bit elaborated on that. So now, in the very beginning of the very first verse of Sri Upadeshamrita, Sri Rupa Goswami says, what is the qualification to become a Jagat Guru? Who can become a Jagat Guru? So, of course, everyone wants to become a Jagat Guru. So he says, if you want to become a Jagat Guru, it's very simple. You need just six things. Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jihva Vegam, Udaropastha Vegam, Etan Veganyo Vishaheta Dira, Sarvan Apivams Prithivimsta Shishyal. He says, all you need to do is Vacho Vegam. If you get the urge to speak, just tolerate it. Manasa Vegam, if your mind is running here and there, just tolerate it. Krodha Vegam, if you become very angry, just tolerate the anger. He says that Jihva Vegam, if your tongue wants to eat palatable foodstuffs, just tolerate it. Or if your stomach and genitals are giving you a lot of urge, just tolerate it, right? So, if you just tolerate the six urges, then you become qualified to become a Jagat Guru. So, you may say, wow, really, only this, if I'm able to just tolerate the six urges, and I become a Jagat Guru? Yes. It might sound very easy, but in practice, we realize that it is not very easy. It's very difficult, right? When the urge comes to say no once, maybe okay. But to always, throughout the life, to overcome these urges is not easy. But etan veganyo vishaheta dhira, one who is able to overcome these urges, tolerate this urge, Sarvan apimams prithivinsadishya, he can make disciples all over the world. Okay. So he has presented this qualification. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreyam uttamam shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upasamashrayam. Bhagavatam says that what is the qualification of a guru? So he says, Tasmad Gurum Prapadyata, there one should approach a guru. Jigyasu Shreya Muttamam, one who is inquisitive about understanding the highest truth. He has to approach a guru. Who is a guru? Shabde Parecha Nishnatam. So, Shabde Nishnatam. Shabde Nishnatam means he is an expert in understanding the Bhakti Shastras. And Pare Brahmani Nishnatam means, Pare Brahmani Nishnatam, that is the second characteristic, which means one should be expert by that understanding of the Bhakti Shastras. He must come to a stage of realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the meaning of Pare Brahmani Nishnatam. And how do I know whether he has realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead or not? He says, Upashama Ashrayam. He has taken shelter of the stage of, you know, peace. Peace means controlled mind, controlled senses, which means Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jihva Vegam, Udaropastha Vegam, Etan Veganyo Vishaheta Dira. So such a person's senses and mind are completely satisfied. So therefore, Bhagavatam also says this to be the externally observable symptoms of a person who has reached the stage of, being a Jagat Guru. So you say that, okay, you all you need to do is to tolerate. Now one may say, oh, but this sounds very difficult. I'm not able to do it. So how do I tolerate? So Srila Rupa Goswami says, okay, fine. You are finding this difficult, right? Let me teach you how you can tolerate. You can tolerate this if you have a favorable lifestyle. If you have a favorable lifestyle, then gradually by following that favorable lifestyle over a period of time, you can develop tolerance. Right? So what is that favorable lifestyle? So that's what he says next. So developing the internal wiring. Say for example, so if you see this Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jihva Vegam, Udaropastha Vegam, these six are urges. These urges are called as conditional urges. Okay. These are called as conditional urges. Okay, so conditional urges means what? Urge comes, but when pacified, it goes away. Okay, urge comes, but when it's pacified, it goes away. Say, for example, it's not that 24 hours you have the urge to speak. Sometimes when you are feeling lonely and or something like that, then you really have this urge to speak. Then once you speak and express yourself, then the urge goes away. And similarly, anger. It's not, no one is angry 24 hours a day. Okay. Sometimes due to frustrated material desire, this anger comes, but when you vent out that anger or when someone pacifies you, the anger gets pacified. Okay. Similarly, the urge to taste palatable foodstuffs, the urge is not there always. Okay. Sometimes when the urge is there, when you eat that and when the hunger and tongue is pacified, then the urge to eat goes away. So similarly, udaravegam, upastavegam, the hunger and the urge of the genitals, these are all conditional. They are not always there. They come and when pacified, they go away. Okay. But the ability to tolerate these conditional urges, one can develop when one's internal wiring is solid. Right. Say, for example, I will give an example. you know, I studied in a military school. You know, I went to a boarding school. So in boarding school, in this military school, actually, right from the sixth standard, you know, every single boy is physically, psychologically, emotionally trained. Right from that young age, they are trained to face the battlefield. A soldier gets only one training to face the battlefield. Okay. Even though most of them may never see the battlefield, but the training is to face the battlefield at every moment. Okay. So it's not that in the training constantly bullets are shot and you know, sometimes that kind of training also they may get, but you know, certain things, you know, how do you physically condition yourself so that you are in the battlefield, you know, you are like a well-oiled machine. How do you work on your emotions? Because you will see people around you dying. How do you maintain your emotions? How do you compose yourself? So how do you become mentally strong? So these are things, if we have the internal wiring, as they say, one who sweats in peace will bleed less in war. Okay. our war are these conditional urges, the vega. Vacho vegam, manasa, krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam. So these urges are conditional urges. They are like the battlefield for us. But if we have sweated in peace, sweating in peace means if one is properly trained, if one is properly trained before the war, emotionally, physically, psychologically, mentally, if one is properly trained before the war, then when the war comes, one is ready to face the battle. Then one is battle ready. Right? So in the same way, these urges are like battle. These urges are like battle. But if we have the proper internal wiring, then we can actually face the battle. So how does one develop this internal wiring? How does one develop this internal wiring, by which we can resist these urges? The first is to choose the conscious choice of a proper lifestyle, which will aid this path. So that is the conscious choice of lifestyle. So the conscious choice of lifestyle has do's and don'ts, right? So first thing are the don'ts. So the don'ts are what? Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyamcha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati. So six things that are unfavorable for one's progress in devotional service. Atyahara. This is a lifestyle, right? We eat every day. We don't eat every day. We eat three times a day, right? So, whenever we eat, if we tend to overeat, when we have an urge to eat, when we always tend to overeat, then the ability to resist the urge of the tongue and belly will be very compromised. So atyahara means avoiding overeating. This is one understanding, and avoiding over accumulation. Okay. So if we, this is something that one has to practice day in and day out. Whenever there is an opportunity to eat, or whenever there is an opportunity to accumulate, when we end up over accumulating or overeating, then our ability to resist the urge of the tongue and belly will be weak. An overeater will find it very difficult to fast on Ekadashis and other days. Right? I mean, this may not be the only reason for inability to fast, but this is one very important reason. The urge of the belly cannot be resisted. The urge of the tongue to eat palatable foodstuffs cannot be resisted if one tends to overeat when the opportunity to eat is there. So this is more of a constitutional wiring that a sadhaka has to work on, right? So similarly, prayasa. Prayasa means over endeavoring for getting material success. So anything we over endeavor to get, we want to enjoy it, right? The desire to enjoy is always there, because if you have really endeavored to acquire it, you don't want to just like that give it up. You want to really enjoy it. So prayasa also enhances that enjoyment tendency in the form of all the six urges. So therefore, one should not over endeavor. This is a day in and day out, because we endeavor every day. Every moment of every day is an endeavor to acquire something. So, but if we train ourselves day in and day out for over endeavoring, then we can overcome these urges. It becomes easier to overcome these conditional urges when they come, actually. Similarly, prajalpa, when there is an opportunity to speak, when we speak non-Krishna conscious, useless topics, then the ability to control the urge for speaking will be severely compromised. So therefore, a lifestyle. So these six things are janasanga. Janasanga means unfavorable association. Unfavorable association will inspire us to indulge in all these six things. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropasagam. All these six urges will increase if we indulge in unholy association. So how do you consciously choose a lifestyle which will help you wire yourself internally in such a way that we develop immunity towards these six urges, right? So these are conditional urges. Atyahara and jihva vegam may sound similar, or udara vegam might sound similar, but they are not. So udara vegam is hunger. But atyahara means when hunger is there, how much do you eat? That defines how much immunity you will have to tolerate hunger. Right? When the desire to speak is there, that is vacho vegam. When the opportunity to speak is there, what do you choose to speak? That will determine how much immunity you will have to tolerate the urge to speak. So the first verse talks about the urges and the need to tolerate the urges. Second verse talks about, second and third verses talk about what is a day-to-day choice of lifestyle that will help one develop an immunity to resist these urges. Okay. So the six don'ts are atyahara, prayasa, prajalpa, niyamagraha, janasanga, laulyam. Laulyam is greed. Of course, we will see about these things in much more detail, much more detail. But for now, I am just talking about this. And the next is, the third verse is the do's. This is the other aspect of the lifestyle, which is what are the right things to do. Utsahan. One should work on enthusiasm to follow the rules that enhance bhakti, because that will keep us properly engaged. It will engage our mind and senses in such a way that we will develop some level of immunity to resist the urges. Similarly, nishchaya. Nishchaya means we should have a determination to a firm faith in the statements of the Shastras. Because if we doubt, if we start doubting them, then we would lose the, then we would wonder, why should I tolerate the urge to speak? Why should I tolerate the urge of my tongue, belly, genitals and all that? We will get such kind of doubts, right? So one should work on enhancing the faith in Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, that is nishchaya. The dhairya is patience, right? So if we don't cultivate patience, then we may be able to tolerate the urges for a while, but not for a long time. Okay. Then tattat karma pravartanat sangat tyaga chaturthe. I mean, of course, I'm not going to go into details because the whole book is about that. So the second and third verse talks about a lifestyle of do's and don'ts, which is a conscious choice every day, every minute that a sadhaka has to make in order to develop the inner wiring. Just like as I was telling you, in the school, right from a young age, the students are trained to be battle ready, physically, psychologically, emotionally, mentally fit to face the battle. So 10, 12 years down the line, when they come out, they're ready to face the battle. So the second and third verse constitutes that kind of a lifestyle, just like a soldier's lifestyle is different. So waking up early, physical training, and so many different things, you know, that will unconsciously make him battle ready. So similarly, the second and third verses actually talk about day in and day out, the conscious choice of lifestyle that we need to choose in order to become battle ready to face the bullets of these six urges. Vacho vegam, manasa, krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam, like that. Now, okay, one thing is to accept this lifestyle, but can one practice this lifestyle all alone? So in the school, I was the only student who was getting trained. Do you think I would have survived in that school for so many years? I would feel that these people are unfairly putting me through these excruciating situations. Actually, for a young boy, to survive that kind of a excruciating rigors of that life at such a young age, it's very difficult. It's not at all easy. But how could I tolerate it for so many years? How could so many boys tolerate it for so many years? Because we had association of so many other boys who were together experiencing it, right? So this lifestyle is not an easy lifestyle. Because this lifestyle is completely opposite to the lifestyle which is followed in the outside world. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lavyamcha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati utsaha nishchaya dhairya tattat karma pravartana sangatyagat stovritte. Day in and day out, day in and day out, every minute I need to consciously choose a lifestyle, avoid the don'ts and follow the do's. How is it possible for me? Ekaki amar nahi paya vala harinama sankirtane. Alone, it is not possible to follow it. So how is it possible? How can I follow this lifestyle day in and day out? He says, look, for that, you need association of other people who are also, in the same line, you know, who are also having the same aspiration, who are also having the same definition of success that you have, who are also willing to put themselves through the same lifestyle. Okay, so how do I make this association? How do I connect with these people? By following the six exchanges. Dadati, pratigrannati, guhyamakyati, pruchati, bhungte, bojayate, chaiva, shadvidam, priti lakshanam. Okay. Dadati, pratigrannati, giving gifts as a mark of affection and receiving gifts in return. Bhungte, bojayate, sometimes accepting, feeding that person, other person some prasadam, and receiving some prasadam in return. And guhyam akhyati pruchati, revealing one's heart in confidence, and sometimes when the other person wants to reveal his heart, we hear with empathy. So, with these six exchanges, shadvidam priti lakshanam. These are the six symptoms of loving association. So, if we invest in these six exchanges with devotees, then you will get, or if you invest in these six exchanges with other people, then you will get the association. You will get people who can also, cultivate the same lifestyle with you. Now the question is, with whom should we have these six exchanges? Okay, that he tells in the next verse. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatibhischa bhajantamisham shushrushaya bhajanavigyam ananyam anya nindadi shunya hridam ipsita sangalabhya. So he says there are three categories of Vaishnavas with whom you should have these six exchanges. Okay, he says the Kanishta Vaishnava is Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. If a person chants the holy name of Krishna, if he is convinced of chanting the holy name of Krishna and practicing devotional service, you should mentally offer respectful obeisances to him and have these six exchanges with him. If you are more fortunate, dikshasti chet, if you are more fortunate to have the association of a person who is initiated also, who has become qualified to get initiated, okay, then you offer obeisances to that person physically, and then have the six exchanges with him. But if you are most fortunate, to have the association of an Uttamadhikari Vaishnava, Shushrushaya Bhajana Vignam Ananyam Anya Nindadi Shunya Hridam Ipsita Sangalabhya. If you find the association of a person who is very advanced on the science of in the science of devotional service, and his heart is completely free of the desire to criticize anyone, then you should serve him carefully and always wish to seek his association. Okay. So in this way, you should have the six exchanges with these three kinds of Vaishnavas. In order to get some favorable association to practice this lifestyle, which is described in the second and third verses. But in associating with Vaishnavas, the main problem that you will face is their conditioning, because every person in this material world is conditioned, and their conditioning may not be very favorable for us. So how do you deal with that conditioning? So he says in the next verse, drishtair swabhava janitair vapushasta joshair na prakritattva miha bhakta janasya pashyet gangambaso na kalubudbuda fena pankair brahma dravatvam apagacchati neera dharmair. He says that in this material, drishtair swabhava janitair, when you see people, when you see the Vaishnavas, you will see two types of faults which may turn you away from the Vaishnavas. One is swabhava janitair dosha. You may see that the person has some swabhava janit dosh, which is like anger. He may be inclined to become very angry. Okay. Or he may have some other kinds of conditionings like lust, anger, envy, greed, etc. So that is swabhava janitair dosha. Or sometimes vapushascha dosha. He may have some bodily deformities which may be very unpleasant. So he says, na prakritattvam iha bhakta janasya pashye. So Rupa Goswami says, don't even see them as material. Learn to see beyond their conditioning. Okay, if you want to get the benefit of association of devotees, then you should learn to neglect their conditionings, or you should learn to see beyond their conditionings. See their faith which is hiding behind the conditioning. Don't get stuck up in the conditioning of the devotee. Then you will never be able to access the real wealth of Krishna consciousness that is hiding behind the condition. You need association. If you need association, you should learn to see beyond the cosmetic defects. Learn to see beyond the cosmetic defects of the devotees and try to see the substance which is hiding behind these cosmetic defects. So if you have, if you learn this art, then if you learn the art of seeing beyond the conditioning, and if you learn the art of these six kinds of exchanges with these three kinds of Vaishnavas, then you are all set to have favorable association to actually embark on this journey of practicing this lifestyle, which is favorable for developing Krishna consciousness. Okay, so now you have learned what is a favorable lifestyle, what is unfavorable lifestyle, and you have learned how to gain this association and how to retain this association. You can gain the association through the six exchanges. You can retain the association by learning the art of seeing beyond the conditioning of the living entity, conditioning of the devotees. Okay, so now you are all set. You have a group of devotees who are all sharing your definition of success, who are all willing to work on the same lifestyle that you are willing to work on. So in that association, what will you do? Right? In that association, we will naturally want to practice bhakti, right? But there is a problem. Syat Krishnanama Charitadi Sitapya Vidya Pittopatapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Kintu Adarat Anudinum Kalusaiva Jushta Swadvi Kramad Bhavati Tadgada Moolahantri. He says, in their association, you will start Bhajanakriya. You will start practicing bhakti. But what is a stumbling block there? The stumbling block there is our own conditioning, which does not allow us to experience the taste of Krishna consciousness. Syat Krishna Nama Charita Adi. Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes are Sita Syat. They are actually very sweet. But Avidya Pittopatapta Rasanasya Narochikanu. But a person who is afflicted with jaundice, even though when he, a sugar candy is sweet, when he eats a sugar candy, because the tongue is covered by a layer of bile, when that bile reacts with the sweet sugar candy, it generates a bitter taste actually. So a jaundice, any sweet item he eats, it tastes bitter for him. But interestingly, according to Ayurveda, the cure for jaundice is sugarcane juice and sugar candy only. And even though when he takes it, it tastes very bitter, but adarad anudinam kalusaiva jushta. If he, with regularity, regulation and respect, if he day in and day out takes that same medicine, swadvi kramad bhavati, very gradually, the jaundiced person starts tasting that sugarcane juice and sugar candy to be very sweet. So the biggest stumbling block when we progress on the path of devotional service is to expect ruchi before nishta. We think that if only I get lot of taste, then I will very steadily practice Krishna consciousness. And we keep waiting for that taste. But Srila Rupa Goswami says, look, this is a big mistake. Taste is rewarded as a result of one's steady practice of Krishna consciousness. It may be bitter. You know, Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes may be bitter. But in reality, they are sweet. But if you want to access their sweetness, the means is adarad anudinam kalusaiva jushta. You have to, with great respect, regularity and regulation, you have to practice the process in the association of the devotees. When you practice the process, when you try to steady your practice, after nishta will come ruchi. But if you think ruchi should come, only then I will steadily practice, then we will not progress. That is the very key thing that he says. So now, if you steadily try to, irrespective of whether you are getting taste or not, but if you steadily apply yourself to practicing the devotional limbs in the association of devotees, then taste comes. Once taste comes, you know what will follow next. What comes after taste? He says, Tan nama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityor kramena rasana manasi niyojya tishtan vraje tadanuraga jananugami kalam nayed akilamityupadesha saram. He says, Tan nama rupa charita adi sukirtana. Anu smrityor kramena rasana manasi niyojya. So he says, Upadesha saram, the essence of all advice is that akilam kalam nayed. One should utilize all of one's time. Once after you develop the taste, you should utilize all your time in chanting, remembering the Lord's nama, rupa, charita, adi, name, form, qualities, pastimes, etc. Kramena niyojya rasana manasi, while gradually engaging your senses, followed by your mind, you should always engage your senses and mind in hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. But in doing that, tishtan vraje, you should remain in Vrindavan. Tad anuraga janugami, and try to become a follower of the Vrajavasis. Tad anuraga jananu, tad anuragi jananugami. You should try to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis who are deeply attached to his devotional service. This is Raganuga Bhakti. So after you develop taste, ruchi, then one should try to shape or mold one's practice of devotional service by taking inspiration from the Vrajavasis. So here he is talking about the transition from Vaidhi to Raganuga. Okay. So that is 8th verse. And then, so when you reach this stage, then you are so absorbed in trying to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis that automatically this kind of an absorption creates Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jihva Vegam, Udaropastha Vegam, Etanyi Veganyo Vishaheta Dhira, Sarvanapimam Spritivim Sashishyat. At this stage, you actually become so absorbed that automatically the senses and mind and the six urges are completely controlled. So you are ready to make disciples all over the world. But no one is interested in that because they are absorbed in trying to follow the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. Right? And while in Vrindavan, what is the hierarchy? This we will see next week. Of course, this overview, I had to rush because there were so many questions. I could not really spend time in doing this overview. But at this point, I will pause and I will little bit elaborate on some of the things which I have meant today. And then we will move into the first essay, which will be about Atyahara. Because basically the section that we are discussing right now is we are trying to understand the relevance of this book, Bhaktyaloka, in a sadhaka's life by trying to understand the flow of Upadeshamrita, how Upadeshamrita takes us step by step from the stage of Shraddha to Prema that we are trying to understand. But of course, I could not complete and we have just 3 minutes time. So at this point, I would like to give at least 2-3 minutes for some quick comments, discussion points, questions. Maybe one or two we will have time to take. And then we can actually wind up for the day and then meet again next Wednesday. Okay. Shri Gopinath Pran Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much. Very, very nice. Very sweet it was. Now, my quickly, I'll ask question. Question is, actually 50% of that question you have already answered, but I was still not clear. See, you gave that example, which I've heard before also, about in your school days, how you were trained and about the lifestyle, which made you strong to face all challenges, etc. So even in a plant, when it is young, when the plant is young, it is easy to mend and make it in whatever direction it has to grow like that. But when it becomes a big tree, sometimes it goes through the building also, we cannot change the direction of the tree. So like that, at our early ages, we may be able to change our lifestyle quickly. But once we are little aged, then to mend our behavior, lifestyle, it becomes difficult. Although theoretically, I will understand. But for me, it may become difficult. So how do I overcome this challenge?
Well, it all depends on how clearly we understand our goal, how clearly we appreciate what we are aspiring after. So if we understand this point, because everything comes with a cost, it all depends on whether we are willing to pay that cost or not. So, if someone says, if you are eating prasad and we are conditioned in such a way that while eating prasad, I will not get up, whatever it may be. Okay. If someone is ringing the bell in your house, you may say, I will not get up because I'm eating. You should go and open the door. Fine. Okay. So, but if, what if someone in front of you has a heart attack, right? Some of your dear relative of someone has a heart attack. I'm sorry, I'm giving a very gross example. So when we understand what is at stake, and if something which is at stake is very, very valuable, then we will be willing to change our conditioning. Even though my conditioning is such that I don't wish to get up when I'm eating. But when the stake is, you know, someone is ringing the bell, it is not a good enough stake for you to get up and open the door. Okay, that anyone can do. But when you see someone is having a heart attack right in front of you, someone who is very dear to you, very strong thing is at stake. So when you understand this, you will be willing to very easily give up your conditioning and go ahead and help that person. So in the same way, if we have the right kind of association and associate with people and understand the glory of what we are aspiring after, then even though it may be difficult to overcome the conditioning, but the more we understand what is at stake, the more we understand the value of what is at stake, then it gives us the ability and strength to actually fight the conditioning. Because generally we don't fight because there is sufficient inspiration to fight. Because we don't understand, even by fighting, what do I gain? But when you really understand by fighting this, what we gain, then it gives us the ability and the impetus to fight it actually.
Okay.
So it all depends on, you know, associating with the right kind of people. Who can help us identify, conditionings are strong, but still, if you fight it, what lies ahead on the other side of this fight? You know, what do you stand to gain? When we understand that, then the ability to fight also comes, actually.
Okay. Fine. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So we will take just one more question. Nitai Mata Mataji, and then we will see.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam. You answered many questions I had in my heart, actually, from yesterday to today. I have this question is about, if you are in a community but with very less devotees, If you see like everybody can have the same mood, basically, if you want to move forward, if you want to grow, we should work cooperatively. This is what Srila Prabhupada told us in very simple words. And but if you really want to do that, if you really wanted to say, but devotees may be saying, oh, we have been doing this for 30 odd years, and then we, so you won't, you, at the same time, the management or somebody will be say, we have to improve. But you talk about improvement, but you don't want to change. So where do you learn then, Prabhu? Because, and then we can't, if we, it is not a criticism, it will be a feedback, but it will be difficult. You don't know what to do. You want to move forward, but you're stuck. You can't move forward. But you want to move forward. Basically, you want to do. Otherwise, this is not a moment. This is a movement, you know. How do you understand with these instructions? You can very clearly understand what instruction says if you really wanted to do it. You lastly mentioned, if you know the purpose of what, for what you are doing this, then you can move forward. But not everybody wants to do that. So how can you?
That's why we are coming together, Mataji, trying to understand, because many times people take the time out to understand why they are doing what they are doing. So this is a very, very important thing that we are trying to do, is to try to understand the depth of the instructions of our acharyas. Through that, we can understand what exactly we stand to gain when we do the right things and avoid the wrong things. So when you understand clearly, and when you are convinced and you are able to apply it, then by your life you can influence another 2-3 people and help them understand and help them realize, and they start applying it. And each one of them will try to influence another 3-4 devotees individually. And in this way, this will spread. So it's a patient thing. Nothing valuable comes overnight. We have to invest in it. So first comes first. First, let's try to understand and try to lay it and see for ourselves whether it works or not. And then when you are inspired through your inspiration, you can inspire so many people, and each one of them can inspire so many other people, and that way change will slowly come. But it has to come first, starting from ourselves, like that.
Prabhu, just one thing to add. Even if you are inspired, of course, study this. This is never ending. Even with little, because Harinand Chintamani, I listened with another devotee. From there only, I saw your thing, and it was only the last class I joined because I didn't know before. And so I was thinking, even going through daily, this COVID period was a blessing, doing all that. So all those inspiration. But until unless they hear from somebody, from a higher authority, devotees are not willing to understand from, although we say loving exchange, even you say in confidence, in a very small community, it is really difficult, Prabhu. You know, bigger communities, I do understand. In a small community, it's so difficult, you know, because everybody has conditioning. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We will definitely take this discussion, Mataji, because it's a long question, and it's a long answer, and it's, we have already 7 minutes over. So so definitely next Wednesday we will start taking these discussion points. But for now, I will pause here. Sorry, I went over time, and hoping to have your association next week also and the subsequent weeks also. So thank you very much for your patient listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki jai, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai, Shri Bhakti Aloka ki jai, Shri Upadesha Amrit ki jai. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Thank you.